since the center's purpose was put nature and culture together and show that this is possible and that there is only one convention, there are not two conventions, I put emphasis, and I had in Mechtet a wonderful colleague to promote this, on launching the whole concept of cultural landscapes as a kind of mark to mark the links between culture and nature. I thought this was very important to develop. It was already proposed before, particularly by the French, repeatedly, but it was not successful, even though the UK launched as a trial the nomination in the Lake District in the UK. It was proposed as a landscape, but it was proposed under the wrong criteria for as a natural site. In fact, it was our fault at the beginning when we formulated in 76 under the leadership of David Hales, who was presiding the Commission on Natural Criteria, Parent for Cultural Criteria, the whole question of beauty, of aesthetics, was not entering into the cultural criteria, but entering under the natural criteria. And in particular, the the wonderful harmonious interplay between nature and culture came under natural heritage and therefore the cultural landscape question. And if you read the convention, of course, you can see that the links between nature and culture are clearly expressed under the cultural part of the convention, whereas, which is hardly to understand, the question of beauty and aesthetics only comes under the natural heritage criteria. So there is also some misleading text in the convention itself, but certainly the interpretation of the Article 2 and 1 and 2 of the convention, this translation into the criteria, had not done with full precision and led to endless debates on whether landscapes would come under natural or cultural criteria. That was only clarified in 92, 93, 94 when we got Tongariro inscribed, in 92 when we finally got to a classification even of the landscapes, and clearly as cultural landscapes we had three types.